This morning, I want to just bring several thoughts together, and only God can help you to do that, and share with you about, by the grace of God, not letting your distractions defeat you. Don't let your distractions defeat you. We all have them, some more, some less. But the teaching of God's Word, and I'll just cut to the chase and give you where we're going this morning, is the fact that Satan has already lost. He's not going to lose. Yeah, he will lose, but Satan has already lost. And Jesus has already won. So let's get the playing field here, get it in our thinking. We're not here this morning having a meeting to figure out how to resign, or I'm talking about in our Christian walk, or run from Satan, or hide in cowardice. We're here this morning to just put together strategy to knock his brains out if he has any left. I read these verses last Sunday morning, but let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. And beginning at verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." How many know we should pray for one another? How many know you should pray for your pastor? Don't fuss about my messages if you don't pray for me. Poor pray, poor preach for you. Because the person sitting next to you has been praying for me, they're going to think that's the greatest message they ever heard. It's amazing how that works. No, we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for our staff. We're to pray for those that... We just need to pray for one another stronger than ever before. We need one another. You do understand that, don't you? And I've said it so many times, and it's been made real to me so many times. You never know when you're going to need me more than you've ever needed me in your life. I've had strangers that we became friends in a situation that was able to help them because their heart was reaching out and our faith came together and we saw victory. And you never know when I'm going to need you more than I've ever needed anyone else in my life also. Folks, we need one another. I think of the Apostle Paul when they led him out over the wall in a basket to save his life, the great Apostle Paul. And there were four men holding those ropes of that basket that led him down to escape from his life being taken prematurely. Thank God there were four men that were rope holders. Four men that were responsible in us getting all that God, the revelation that God gave to Paul to give to us as a church. Somebody held the rope. What if one of those guys got tired of holding the rope? What if two of them got tired of holding the rope? You see, we're all rope holders in one way or another. So we pray for one another. Now beginning in chapter 1, verse 17 of Ephesians, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom," not dumb-dumb, but wisdom. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory are in the inheritance to the saints, in the saints. And what is the exceeding," look at this, verse 19, "and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us?" I know it said us word, that means to us. "Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him over at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. And he hath put all things under His feet, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Praise be unto God. And then let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter now, verses 6 and 7. It's hard to start and stop reading these verses. All right, that's what God did for Jesus. That's the finished work of Jesus at Calvary, that He has power and authority over all the power of the enemy. But now we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Well, you might as well let's go to 5. My. Even when we were dead in sins, we've been quickened together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Bible's very plain on Christ's victory over Satan. Praise God, it's a done deal. It's already happened. It's not going to happen. It has happened. And the last enemy for us to be put underfoot is death. And that's promotion for the child of God. That's not demotion, that's promotion. We just don't need to leave too early. I need you to hang out here for a while and help us finish the job of evangelizing the world. So you see, not only is Jesus reigning supreme over all, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Now, what does that speak to us? It's time for me, for you, for all of us to rise to the occasion stronger than ever before and live a victorious Christian life. Don't let your distractions defeat you. Pastors have all kinds of situations. Saturday night week ago, I was reorganizing something real quickly in the car that I needed to, and put it in the cargo part of my SUV there, and I pulled it in the garage, and the garage door was closed, and the car was there, and I'm standing by it, so I pushed the little button to open the cargo gate, not realizing there was not room enough for me and that cargo gate both to negotiate there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that thing just whacked me in the head. My glasses went sailing somewhere and had to find them. And just a little spot left up here, but it sure hurt. I mean, for a moment, I was seeing stars, and I wasn't one of them, you know. And you know, you go through that momentary moment of frustration. How in the world did you do that to yourself? And then I think of even yesterday, you know, a busy, busy day, and I kept hearing a sound in the car, and I thought, oh my gracious, that can't be. That just cannot be. It sounded like a grinding sound. I thought I had a transmission going out or a wheel ready. I mean, it was just not a good sound, and I haven't heard a sound like that in years. Not knowing that a tire was down and I was on the freeway, and thank God the thing didn't completely go down while I was on the freeway. But then in the process of it all, you ruin a tire, and then you got a flat tire, and then you got to change, and then you got to find some other tires. And that's on Saturday. That's not the time I would ever plan for something like that to happen. The Saturday night before to get a whack in the head, or the Saturday following to go sit at Discount Tire for 2.5 hours. And then get your tire changed before that. It's not a sad story. I'm not upset and I'm not discouraged, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, with this message already in my heart, I begin to think, How many times does Satan send distractions to get us off course? You were just getting ready to pray, and then a phone call comes that you shouldn't have taken. I mean, I'm just giving an illustration. And if we're not careful, we can live a life of responding to distractions instead of walking and living in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I drink from the same fountain you drink from. And we all need the help of God. And strange things happen to all of us. But God is speaking. And I believe it's absolutely essential that we wake up to the fact that God has spoken in His Word, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." He said that in Luke 10. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, I know some of you think, well, you're dealing with trivia this morning. Get on with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. This affects our living of the gospel of Christ. It affects our time. It affects our finances. It affects us staying on course of doing even just the things we need to do, much less the spiritual things we need to do. But I just believe it's absolutely essential that believers in humility, giving honor to God, take their rightful seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all powers of the air, and from that place hold in authority Satan. We need to stand up in the morning and get on. We take the day. We don't get up and submit to whatever comes down. You need to get out of bed and give Satan a 666, a Sedrin headache from the time you opened your eyes. I mean, Satan needs to be saying to the little demons, "Don't wake them up. Don't get them. Don't stir them up again. They're coming after us again." We've got to get aggressive, church. We've got to get aggressive personally. In our faith, in our walk with God. In fact, the Lord's been speaking this to my heart. Go for the impossible and expect miracles. Go for the impossible. Go for the impossible. Attempt the impossible. Don't say, "Well, don't be like a little night watchman we had at our church downtown." He's not been in our church for many, many years, and so he'll probably never hear me say this, but he was kind of a little wimpy kind of a guy. And you had some live-ins down there that would help us in that big building. And one night he was heard to say down the hall, "Yoo-hoo, I know somebody's in this building. But if you don't bother me, I won't bother you." Slammed his door and locked it. And that's what far too much of the church has been doing. "Woohoo, Mr. Satan, I know you're out there, but you don't bother me and I won't bother you." No! No! No, 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 no. Oh, glory to God. Jesus, who has absolute power over the forces of the devil, confers His authority upon His disciples. And He said in Luke 10:19, "I repeat it again, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." All right, so you have a bad tower. It doesn't ruin your day. So you're caught in a time-wasting situation, but you don't throw up your hands. Your mind doesn't start wandering. You don't get off of your faith. You don't get out of your purpose for existence. And in the meantime, we make Him pay for it, and we speak the Word of God, and we pray in the Spirit. And if you have the Word, which you should always have some Word close by, we read some Word. When it's over, we come out stronger than before. Every demon is subject to the believer through Christ's name. The devil is subject to every believer through Christ's name. It was over in Matthew where the man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Something comes over him and throws him into the fire. It burns, it hurts. Oh God, have mercy. And of course Jesus took care of that situation, but out of that portion of God's word, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Write it down somewhere. Nothing shall be impossible unto me. Now, I'm not talking about something foolish or stupid or, you know, making a dummy out of yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about, folks, we've got to get aggressive in our Christian living. Stronger than before. Stronger than before. There's a purpose for every one of us on this earth. There's a purpose in this church. There's a purpose in this community. There's a purpose for your existence. It's not just to occupy space. First message I ever brought in the beginning of this church, the very first Sunday in 1964, is from Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God has given us the keys. We have the power. We have the keys. We have the favor of God. You say, but I failed. I hope someone did have the courage to say that. But thank God, if you've repented, your failure is under the blood. Don't let it defeat you one more moment. Let the past be past at last. I said, let the past be past at last. So you blew it. Join the club. We all have somewhere along the way. Don't run away from, run to. Oh, thank God the cross has robbed Satan of his power. I said the cross has robbed Satan of his power. Oh, to overcome him. We remember Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Oh, that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I said, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Now I've given you already several good reasons, and I wasn't headed in that direction, but that's why we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate the resurrection, but we don't celebrate Halloween. Why give the devil any advertisement? My life is not dark and sinister and dominated by the powers of evil. I am more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has fought and won the battle. And thank God I'm blessed because of it, and so are you. The devil is a defeated foe. Oh, God calls us to just walk daily in victory. Hey, victory is not just for Sunday. Victory is for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. That's right. The blood of Jesus is God's provision for overcoming the enemy. Thank God for the blood. Oh, through the finished work of Calvary, I win. And how do we win? We win by His word, not our word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, I've heard this before. Have you really heard it? Have I really heard it? We know it to a certain degree, but are we walking it? Are we living it? That's what I'm after this morning in me and you. I'm tightening up on myself. I'm ratcheting up myself. I'm going to walk in stronger victory than ever before. Get a grip on your mind before those thoughts go crazy. Nail that first thought. Put it under the blood. Don't wait until you've had a bad day, and at the end of the day when you're beaten up and bloody, try to get a little peace in your heart. I mean, start the day off with, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater. Not lesser. Greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then by every word, I tell you, that verse of the man concerning his servant there in Matthew chapter, was it verse 8? Chapter 8, verse 8. Speak the word only. What a believer. What a believer. I mean, what a revelation that man had. Jesus volunteered to make a house call. I remember as a little boy, doctors used to make house calls, and I'm not getting into that, but I remember the day when that happened. More than once, Dr. Clonch would come to our home, or there was another doctor that would. So, I mean, there were days back there that doctors did make house calls. Well, Jesus said, I'll make a house call. Out of all the thousands of people that Jesus dealt with, he said, I will go and minister to one. And the man said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a man of authority. I understand authority. Tell you what, Jesus, you speak the word only. Speak the word. Get that in my spirit, Lord. Oh, get that in my spirit. Speak the word only. You say, well, my finances aren't working real good. Start speaking the word over your finances. Speak the word over your body. Precious man, before the service this morning, he said, please pray. My wife has cancer and she needs a healing, I believe, a healing or a miracle. And we prayed. We prayed. God wants us to rise above the fray, not be under. Rise above and not be under. Oh, thank God. And we can only do it. Listen to me. This is not mind over matter. This is not the power of positive thinking, although I respect that much more than a negative thinker. I'd rather have a coffee with a positive thinker than a negative thinker. But there's something that goes deeper than that. It's by His Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. All you have to do is plug in. The electricity is here, honey. All you have to do is plug in. Say, me too. I believe that. I'm going to start living that stronger. I'm not going to quit. Not giving up. Oh, that Satan is a defeated foe. And you know, the Bible said, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, thank God. Thank God. But folks, this is not in the power of our own spirit. This is through the power of the Holy Spirit in all of us. Weak men became strong on the day of Pentecost. Peter the failure became Peter the spokesman for heaven. Oh, there's so many things that are just in my heart. And you know, I probably shock some people when I make a statement like this, and I hope you do understand. I've come to the place as a leader and as my walk with God. I'll tell you something that's worse than drugs, and I'll tell you something that's worse than alcoholism and the effects that come through that. And that is bad spirits and attitudes among believers. Seven things God hates. He don't dislike it, honey. He hates it. And if God hates something, if God hates something, I'm not joining the club there. Those that cause dissension and confusion and division among the brethren, not among the world, they're already crazy and mixed up. But among the brethren. Whew. And you know, this goes into this same thing. I get a lot of phone calls. I minister to a lot of churches and ministers. And you'd be surprised across the land. It's amazing how much division and dissension and craziness that some churches are going through. And I'll tell you what, if you walk in victory and I walk in victory, we got two of us and two make a majority. And then you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we're going to stand firm, and Satan can't penetrate that iron wall, that steel wall of the blood of Jesus. And we're going to win stronger than ever before. But if Satan can just keep us running off, well, he say, she say, they say, who say? Oh, grandma say, auntie say, who say what? Who said it last? Who said it first? See, just keep us running around trying to figure out, like a dog chasing his tail. We ain't chasing no tails around here. We're going forward. It's time to go forward. It's time to go forward. Dissensions arise in churches and Christian schools and families and among friends. Strife, perplexity, and confusion. And you know, that is not of God. I'll tell you, a spirit of offense is worse than a drunk. Spirit of offense is worse than someone shooting up some... They'll be all right the next time. They'll need it again, but they'll be all right. The drunk will be sober in the morning. But you get a hold of a spirit of offense and strife, you ain't going to be all right in the morning. You're going to be worse in the morning than you were last night. And I'm not going to have any part of it. Brother, I tell you, I'm going to... Thank God Almighty, I'm free. I am free. I am free. I'm going to walk free, think free, preach free, live free, lead free. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty, free at last. We're going to live above it. Above it. Above it. And you know, those times come. 50 years, dear God, you... Pastor a church one way or another 50 years. It happens in churches. It's happened in our Christian school from time to time. We have to clean out a nest or something. I mean, really. I mean, you think Satan's going to ignore next door? You think he's going to ignore that thing? He's going to ignore this church? Because that school would not be possible without this church. And some people never figured that out. Never had figured it out. Oh, Satan would like to shut that television station down over in Uganda. See what I mean? When I get crosswise, boy, I can't afford to. I can't afford to get crosswise. Because then somebody else is going to get crosswise. Somebody else is going to get crosswise. So we're just going to call the shot straight for what it is, and we're going to walk in victory. I said we're going to walk in victory. Neither give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Did you know that's a commandment of God? That's not a suggestion of God. That's a commandment of God. Neither, don't give him any parking space. I said something, two things, I think, last time. And I really appreciate folks using the social media for what it should be. I said, grace is not a parking place. Grace is a launching pad to get on with the end time harvest. It's not a parking space. You can just work all you want to. Even if you got a smart car, it still won't fit. It won't fit in there. Grace is not a parking place. It's a launching pad. It releases us to relax and enjoy the journey and to know that it is well with my soul. And instead of sitting around wondering, does God love me or does he love me not? And to get on with doing what God called us to do. And that's the decision I believe I've made in my heart. There's a war going on, but that war has already been fought and won. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And therefore the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand in that evil day. Now, let me tell you what God's after. You say, well, what about a perfect world? Let's go to the third chapter of Ephesians. And I think we've pretty well given you what I believe the Lord would have us to share today. Let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. And this is Paul's prayer now. Another one of his prayers. And he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his power in the inner man. Oh! Look at one another and say, God's so big in you. God is so big in you. God in you is bigger than anything in the world. And that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you handle the thought? I didn't say can you handle that. Can you just handle the thought? God wants to move into you lock, stock, and barrel. Ooh, forget the U-Haul. I mean, God Almighty wants to move into us in the fullness of His power. Now, you say, well, that's impossible, Brother Nichols. I mean, that's a nice thought. Well, why don't you read the next verse, honey? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 29. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's already working in us. It's already working. Not as big as it will, not as big as it should, but it's the power's already in you. I mean, I just dare you to raise both hands and say, I've got the power. I've got the power. I've got the power to overcome. I've got the power to live the Christian life. I've got the power that is greater than all the power of the enemy. The power that worketh in us. Let's go to the final here in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Finally, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be weak. Quit. Be discouraged. Surrender. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the craziness of the devil. Oh, there's a battle going on. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and not only to withstand, but to stand, and not only to stand, but to withstand, and not only to withstand, but to stand. Do you get it? We don't quit. We stand and we withstand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember, speak the Word only. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then the great Apostle Paul said, please pray for me. Would you pray for me? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You. How I've proved You o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust You more. Folks, thank God, thank God. We're not here in a loser's convention today. I said we're not here in a loser's convention. We're here in a winner's convention today. We all face some tough stuff, but we're going to stay on top of it. It's not going to be long till the trump of God's going to sound. And the trials of this earth will seem as nothing. We'll look down and say, I can't believe that got me so upset. I can't believe I let them get to me like that. I just can't. I think that's why God's going to have to wipe away all tears. because he wants us to see him high and seated upon the throne, saying, I'll help you, I'll heal you, I'll strengthen you, I'll bless you.